In John chapter 12, beginning with verse 9, we are coming down to the very last days of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth in his physical body. In verse 9, the Bible says, "Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Now, this raising of Lazarus from the dead had excited the people. Evidently, it was the greatest proof that they have, one of the greatest proofs that we have that Jesus was God, that he was able to raise Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead for 4 days, had already begun to decay, and now he is alive, and the people are flocking out to see him. They would do that even today. If one of these so-called miracle workers and miracle healers today could actually raise some body from the dead that had been dead 4 days and already been buried, their bodies already been spiced and buried. If they could raise them from the dead and see them loosed from their grave clothes and see them walking and then see them sitting at the table with someone else eating, then certainly we would have to believe that they had some power that they claim to have. And since they can't raise somebody from the dead, we know then they do not have the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had. In fact, they do not even have the power of healing, much less the power of raising somebody from the dead. But here is an actual fact. Now, Lazarus was raised from the dead. The people, by the multitudes, saw it and saw him, and they came flocking to Bethany to see Jesus and also to see Lazarus. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. That's quite a thing, isn't it? Here they wanted to put Jesus to death because he claimed to be God, because he claimed to be the Messiah. And now they want to put Lazarus to death because Lazarus was proof that he was the Messiah. And the only way they knew to take care of that was to just get rid of Lazarus. They could have killed him. But it didn't work out that way for them. It says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So there were many of them who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as their Lord and Savior. Now that brings up this point real quickly before I move on through these verses. If you really want to have an effect in your life as a Christian, if you want to have an effect upon the unsaved, if you want to see your relatives come to know Christ as Savior, if you want to see your neighbors turn to you and listen to you, what you have to say about the Savior and about the Lord and about your salvation, then you're going to have to be living a resurrected life. You're going to have to be living a life that is different from any other life that is all around you, a life that is different from what you lived before you were saved. You cannot go to the same places, do the same things, have the same pleasures that you did have, and have the same attitudes and actions that you did have, and try to reach others for Christ. You can't do that. If you want to reach men with the gospel, you're going to have to do it from a resurrected life. There's going to have to be a change. There's going to have to be a difference. The reason the church is not in revival today is because we do not have that resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the churches today. We're not showing that power to a world that is lost and in sin. Now let's keep reading. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And here we have the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And it happened on exactly the day that it was prophesied by Daniel that it would happen. We're not going to take the time to go into that, but it happened on the very day that Jesus would be presenting himself as the King of Israel. And that's exactly what he's doing. Verse 14 says, "And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt.'" So the Lord Jesus Christ then makes reference here in his actions to the prophecy that had been made that when the King of Israel came, he would come riding into Jerusalem on an ass's colt. I will point out to you again, I have done it a number of times on the program, but I will point out to you again that Jesus did not do these things to fulfill Scripture. Jesus did these things because it was planned before the foundation of the world, everything that he would do while he was upon this earth to bring about our redemption. And that being part of that plan from before the foundation of the world was prophesied through the prophets of Israel. And now, of course, Jesus Christ actually doing what the prophet said was a fulfillment of that prophecy. Not to prove the prophecy, but simply the prophecy was proven by the fact that Jesus Christ did what he planned to do, what the Trinity planned that they would do before the foundation of the world. And so we find Jesus Christ then presenting himself as the King of Israel in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem that day. Now he was rejected, as you well know. He came to die on the cross. That was the purpose of his coming. But in order for him to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, he first of all must present himself as the King of Israel and give them that opportunity to receive him as their king. Now they rejected him, and in the very first few verses of this book that we're reading and studying, the Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. So he came to Israel first of all. He came to present himself to Israel as their king. I do not know what would have happened. I assume that he had he been accepted by them and received by them, that would have been the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it wasn't that way. God knew it wasn't going to be that way. And so he planned a plan of redemption whereby the king would be rejected and whereby Jesus then would be crucified to shed his blood to make an atonement for our sins. So we have the triumphal entry and presentation of Jesus as the king, and then we have the proof that he was the king by this prophecy that was fulfilled. And then, of course, in these verses following here, we find the reaction of the Pharisees to this tremendous crowd coming into Jerusalem, marching around and behind and in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, pulling down the palm branches and putting their garments in the pathway for the colt to walk upon in order that they might recognize Jesus Christ in triumph as he came into Jerusalem.